Hey friends, welcome to the City Hope Podcast. My name is Bobby Thompson, and I have the privilege of serving as a lead pastor. I pray that today's message would inspire you, it would encourage you, and it would also challenge you in your walk with Christ. Enjoy today's sermon.
Amen. Amen. Can we thank Joe and Brittany for leading us today, and the guys in the back doing a great job. Everybody good this morning? Everybody happy? Do you like the person you're sitting next to? All right, I hope you do. All right, tell somebody next to you, say, you look good today. Come on, just give somebody a little encouragement, all right? There you go. Now tell the person you didn't think looked good on the other side of you, tell them that you look good too, all right? One more time, I just want to thank each and every one of you for being here today. Obviously, a very special and set aside day, but we say this a lot. Your presence matters. It's a big deal to us that you decided to come and be here, and we would love to connect if this is one of your first times. This is our lobby over here, our corridor. It's all decorated, and we got all kinds of stuff going on over there, but we always have a lot going on, even though we come in and we set up, but there's always a ton going on, so students, men, if you know, first-time guests, we got it all over there. So if you want to get involved in anything, you want to get connected, small group, anything like that, that is the place to do it. Definitely would love to meet you if this is one of your first times. We do have something that I want you to take note of on April 3rd, that is Good Friday. I mentioned this last week. We're going to have our second, what we're calling our prayer room, and I want to invite you to that. Now, can I just be honest with you? If we were going to have a big cookout and dinner and we're going to have free food, like, it would be packed, okay? But when we say a prayer service, that kind of dwindles the crowd down. I'm just being honest with you, okay? And so this is not a service at all. It is an opportunity for us to come together as a church and kind of just put our money where our mouth is and say, hey, if we're going to be a church that is about Jesus and he says that my house shall be called what? A house of prayer. This is just us doing that. And so we're creating that space because we believe God comes where he is wanted. And so on Good Friday from 6:30 to 7:30 a.m. right here at the Boys and Girls Club, we will be praying together and praying specifically for the lost and for family members and for people to come to church on Easter Sunday to hear the gospel and see their lives changed forevermore. Because we don't want to be a church that just talks about prayer. We want to be a praying church. And so let me invite you to that on April 3rd. So we're going to jump right into our passage today. Go to Luke chapter number 20. Luke chapter number 23. We're in a series called In the Shadows, and we're looking at the three prayers that Jesus prayed leading up to his death on the cross. And so coming out of the darkest time in the history of humanity, Jesus gives us some radical ways and examples to live for God and not for ourselves. Now, before we get to chapter 23, I want to give you a little bit of context in chapter number 22. If you weren't here with us last week, go back on our podcast online, on our website, and listen to our first sermon on this, and it'll give you a little bit more context. But in Luke chapter 22, what we see is Jesus was betrayed by one of his own, a guy named Judas, and then he was denied by another one of his own, a guy named Peter, a guy he invested a lot in. And then a little bit further down in chapter 22, we see Jesus was arrested. And I want you to just, I really want you to get a mental picture of what was going on to Jesus. These guards, if you will, they blindfolded Jesus and they would hit him. And they were playing a game, and they were like, hey, if you're who you say you are, tell us who hit you, right? It's kind of like a very, you know, dark, weird, you know, awful game to be playing with anybody, right? And so the guards were doing this to Jesus, and then they send him to one of the leaders named Pilate, but Pilate didn't want anything to do with him, so Pilate sent him to another leader in another place, and his name was Herod, and Herod couldn't get anything out of Jesus, and so Herod's like, I don't want anything to do with this guy, so he sends him back to Pilate, And so Pilate still couldn't find any way to accuse him. And so Pilate was like, I don't really know what to do. Well, then the crowd jumps in. The crowd starts going nuts. And they were screaming loud, we want you to kill this guy. You need to kill him. And so the crowd starts screaming. And so what Pilate does is Pilate releases a murderer and keeps Jesus. And so I hope that you're getting kind of a mental picture of all that's going on here. So if you're keeping score, Judas, his own guy, betrays him. Peter, his own guy, betrays him. The guards, Pilate, Herod, the religious leaders, the crowds, all of these people have turned on Jesus. Every single one of them. Which, by the way, as I was reading this week, it reminded me, don't be surprised when people turn their back on you. If they did it to Jesus, they're going to do it to me and you, okay? And so just you know, put that in your pocket for later, all right? If it's going to happen to Jesus, it's probably going to happen to you and I. So all of this is going on. Now Jesus is led away from the crowd, from all these people who have betrayed him, to be crucified on the cross. And that's where we're going to pick up in Luke chapter 23 today. So let me invite you to stand with me and honor the reading of God's word. We're just going to read a few verses here in Luke chapter 23. And we'll begin reading in verse number 32. The Bible says this: two others, criminals, were also led away to be executed with him. When they arrived at the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on the right, one on the left. Verse 34. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, because they do not know what they are doing. They divided his clothes and they cast lots. The people stood watching, and even the leaders were scoffing. He saved others, let him save himself. If this is God's Messiah, the chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him. They came offering him sour wine and said, if you're the king of the Jews, save yourself. An inscription was above him, this is the king of the Jews. Then one of the criminals hanging there began to yell insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and save us. Would you pray with me? Father, bless the reading of your word. Speak to our hearts, speak to our lives. You know exactly what each and every one of us are walking through today. And I pray, God, that you would use these next few moments to draw us closer to you. It's in Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This is truly the darkest moment in history. A man who was blameless. A man who his only desire was to love people. His only desire was to save people. Was being brutally crucified and mocked on a cross. And you're never going to be able to find a darker moment in all of humanity. But in the midst of this moment, Jesus utters 12 words that are the most astounding words that I think I've ever read. And he says, Father, forgive them. Because they do not know what they're doing. Now, there's a lot we can take away from this, but I just want to give you two things to focus on today. I think there's two takeaways from this that the Lord gave me this week that I want to share with you. Number one, here's what I want you to see. I want you to see what Jesus modeled. I want you to see what Jesus modeled. And he modeled the power of giving forgiveness. He modeled the power of giving forgiveness. Now, church, I want you to see this because many of you, as Joseph was just talking about, you know, we've grown up in church and we've sang those songs, God, you're so good. And maybe this is something that we've missed. Jesus forgives these people before anyone ever asked for forgiveness. Nobody apologized. Nobody repented. Nobody changed their behavior. And Jesus gave forgiveness. He doesn't wait for them to deserve it. He doesn't wait for them to come to him and be like, you know what, we messed up, my bad, I apologize. in the middle of the pain, in the middle of the darkness, in the middle of the struggle, Jesus gave forgiveness. Now, if we're honest, that's probably a place that each and every one of us probably struggle, right? That I want to forgive when you ask me. I want to forgive in my time. I may not even want to forgive, right? But I think one of the lessons that we're seeing here, and this is what we read about Jesus, is that forgiveness is not excusing what happened. It's releasing what happened. It's not forgetting and excusing what happened. It's releasing what happened. So if you go back to the original text, the Greek word here that Jesus used when he said, "Father, forgive them," I'm going to butcher this, but it's aphiemi, and it means to release, to let go, or to send away. So Jesus is not saying what you did doesn't matter to me anymore. I mean, the crucifixion is not a small deal, right? Him hanging on this Christ, the betrayal, the injustice of the entire night and the entire week before, it's not a small thing. He's not saying it doesn't matter what you did to me. It's choosing to say, I'm not going to carry what you did to me any longer. I want to just say this again because I want us to get a real clear understanding. Forgiveness is not saying it didn't hurt. Forgiveness is saying it doesn't get to hold me hostage anymore. It's and Jesus models this in the worst moment imaginable. And when I read this, I think through. Here's the question that I'm just not very spiritual sometimes. And I was just thinking, well, how do I get to that point? I mean, you're Jesus. Come on. Of course you can forgive people, right? You're perfect. How do I get to the point? Where does that kind of forgiveness really come from? When somebody hurts me and they don't ask for an apology, when they don't say they're sorry, when I see injustice, how in the world can I get to that point where I can still forgive them and not be held hostage by that any longer? And this is what God showed me. He said, notice who Jesus was talking to. You see, the way that we get this kind of forgiveness, it comes through our prayers. Jesus wasn't just thinking this, he was praying to the Father. He's saying, Father, in the middle of his worst moment of his life, Jesus is still in communion with God. He didn't turn his back on God. He didn't lose his connection with his Father. The way that he's able to have this kind of forgiveness is because he prayed in the middle of his pain. Guys, the nails were still in his hands when he's praying this. The crown was still on his head when he was saying, Father, forgive them. And I get upset when somebody looks at me the wrong way and I hold a grudge against them for 2 weeks. Somebody didn't say hi to me at church, and so I'm not going back there. The nails were in his hands, in his feet, and he prayed. Now this matters because I know I'm kind of being silly a little bit there, but we've all been hurt. We've all been wronged. But typically what happens is the first thing that breaks is my prayer life. The first thing that breaks is, well, I'm gonna pull away from God and I'm just gonna go quiet. But Jesus shows us what he modeled here is that we need to run. When we're in our deepest pain, we should run to the Father, not away from him. Because church, you're never gonna horizontally give forgiveness if your vertical relationship is not right. I read this week. I don't know who said this, but it wasn't me, so I don't want to take credit for it. But it says this, disconnected people become defensive people, but connected people become forgiving people. What do we do when we get hurt, when somebody does something to us, we tend to disconnect. We get mad and we say, why did this happen? And we begin to pull away. And that's when we become defensive, and that's when we become unforgiving people. But what prayer does is it softens our heart against people who hurt us. Now, some of you here this morning, you're carrying names of people who have hurt you. You're carrying the hurts. You're carrying, there are people who have betrayed you. There are people who have walked out on you. And maybe you're waiting on an apology to come. You're waiting on them to say, I'm sorry. And what Jesus modeled is you don't have to wait. If you wait until they deserve it, you may never do it. Now, I do want to be a little understanding here, okay? Because I know that some of you probably carry some really deep wounds, like some real trauma, some serious abuse and betrayal at the highest levels. And I want to be careful to say this, okay? And I want you to hear this today. Forgiveness does not mean that you stay in harmful situations, okay? I'm not saying you forgive and forget and act like everything's perfect, okay? Forgiveness does not mean you trust someone who has proven themselves to be untrustworthy, all right? Forgiveness and reconciliation are two totally different things, okay? Reconciliation requires both people to show up and do the work. Forgiveness only requires you and God's grace helping you out. Forgiveness is tough. And forgiveness, you're willing to forgive. It may not ever change the person who hurt you, but it will absolutely change you. And so on the cross, Jesus modeled the power of giving forgiveness. Now let's look at the other side of the cross. What Jesus modeled, but number two, what God offers. What Jesus modeled, what God offers. What God offers on that cross is the freedom of receiving forgiveness. Now, here's where most of us in here, all right? Stay with me for just a sec. When you think about forgiveness, we kind of have maybe a couple of ways we think about this. One, maybe you think about, well, I'm a forgiver. I can easily forgive. I want to forgive other people when they do things to me. Like, I just want harmony, I want peace, and it's okay. And I can give forgiveness to other people. And some of you are like, yeah, that's pretty easy. And then there's others of us that we struggle with giving forgiveness. Why? Because I struggle with forgiving me. I'm not willing to forgive myself. I've done some things. I've got some baggage. I've got a history. And so it's really difficult for me to forgive myself. I don't feel very forgivable. And you live every single day with shame and guilt and condemnation. And I was reminded of one of the most beautiful passages of scripture that 1 John 1:9, it just shows us how much this is not about us. Look at this passage. It says, if we confess our sins, look at this. He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Notice what it does not say. It does not say if you're good enough. It does not say if you clean yourself up good enough. If you clean yourself up and then come to God. It says, if you confess, He is faithful. If I confess, He is faithful. You know what that tells me, church? That should tell you is that your forgiveness is not based on your performance. It's based on His character. It's all about Him. It's not about me and who I want myself to be before I go before the Lord. Some of you today, you're not struggling to forgive others. You're struggling to believe that God would even forgive you. And the enemy's got you held so tight. Well, I can't ever step in and be a deacon. I can't be a pastor. I can't work in a church. I can't serve with people and discipling other people because I can't forgive myself. And you're so bound up. There's a true story about a man named John. And back in the 1700s, John was a slave trader. John wasn't just involved in slave trading. He was leading it. He was capturing people. He was selling people. He was profiting off of human suffering. And later in life, and back in this time, they would load these people onto boats and they would take them to new places and they would sell them to other people to be their servants. And during one of the journeys, a storm came and God got a hold of John and he couldn't shake the weight of all that he had done in his life. And as God was stirring in his heart, the guilt that John had in his life was often too much to bear. And he knew that there was no way that God could forgive him for all the wrong he had done. There was no way to undo all the things that he had done. But here's the crazy part. Instead of running from God, John decided, I'm going to run to God. And over time, this saying continued to come into John's mind. My sins are many, but his mercy is more. My sins are many, but his mercy is more. I wonder how many of us can relate to that this morning. My sins are many, but his mercy is more. For years, he repeated this and he reminded himself of this as he drew closer to the Lord. And it was from that realization, many years later, he wrote these following words. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. That saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. John Newton never said, well, I wasn't that bad. He knew exactly how broken he was. But he also realized that God's forgiveness was way bigger than his past. And some of you sit here today, and I need you to hear this today, church. Some of you sit here right here, and you have disqualified yourself, but God has already qualified you through the cross. What Jesus did, what Jesus said, the price that he paid for you took your penalty. And the word that God wanted me to share with you this morning is this. Stop trying to pay for something that's already been paid for. Stop trying to pay for something. I mean, think about that. Your wife gets home from Target, Marshall's, TJ Maxx, Walmart. Starbucks. Your wife gets home and she's got all these bags. And you's like, oh, that's great, babe. I'm going to take all these bags back to Target and I'm going to pay for it again. Let's pay twice. What are you doing? You're an idiot. Why do we try to do that? Why do we try to pay for something that's already been paid for? Jesus not only modeled forgiveness, but he bought our forgiveness. He purchased your forgiveness. And here's the tension. Here's the tension. You're never gonna fully forgive until you fully receive forgiveness. You're never going to be able to truly forgive others until you truly receive forgiveness for yourself. And you're never going to fully experience the freedom of being forgiven if you keep refusing to forgive. And so, on the cross, when Jesus prayed this prayer, this is where both of those things meet. Jesus is hanging there, offering forgiveness while also purchasing forgiveness. And as the church, we are the ones who need to receive it. We are the ones who are called to give it. And so I want you to throw those words up, those 12 words up on the screen one more time. Nails in his hands and his feet. Body beaten, bruised, being mocked, being made fun of. Crown of thorns on his head. Father, forgive them because they do not know what they're doing. Is there forgiveness that you need to receive in your life today, church? If you have never truly received God's forgiveness, this passage right here, to me, it proves God's love for you. It lets me go, you know what? I may not feel worthy, but he does. He thinks I'm worthy. He thinks I'm, maybe some of you in here today, you're still trying to earn it. Can I be honest with you? That's one of my biggest struggles. Is always looking in the rearview mirror. Man, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that. I wish I was better. I wish I wouldn't have done. I should be further along. I've been following Christ now for so long. I should be further along than this. Why do I keep doing this? I find myself time after time still trying to earn God's love, God's forgiveness. But he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. And maybe today that's you. Maybe today God wanted you to hear that word. And maybe you've heard it before, but you've never truly accepted it. And God's saying, hey, it's time. It's time. Receive the forgiveness that I give you. Break out of the shackles. Stop being held bondage. Stop being held in slavery because of the purchased price that Jesus paid. If you've never fully given your heart and life to Jesus and accepted that forgiveness, church, take that step today. Take that step today. You've probably all heard it. You don't get a broken arm and then heal it and then go to the doctor, right? When you get a broken arm, you go to the doctor because your arm's broke. But what do we try to do? We got our sinful life and we try to clean it all up and then go to Jesus? That's wrong. I have a sinful life. I'm messed up. I'm unforgiven. That's what I take to Jesus. That's what he wants from me. And I allow him to heal me. Stop trying to earn it on your own. So today, if you need to take that step, as a church, we've tried to figure out the best way to do this, okay? And we're still learning. And so you can go to our website. You can tap the little tap card on the back of your chair and it'll take you to a place that can help you pray and give you resources. You can stop by over here in the lobby and talk to one of our prayer team. The prayer team will be out here. You need somebody to talk to, you can grab one of our pastors. You can email, you can text, you can telegram. I don't care what. We want to help you. You don't have to do this by yourself. If you're struggling with this thing of forgiveness and truly receiving the forgiveness of God, don't leave here today continuing to struggle. You can get that taken care of today. Now, others of us, maybe you've taken that step and you know that God's forgiven you and you, man, you're so grateful and you're striving to live for him, but you've got some unforgiveness in your heart. Maybe some things that have been done to you, some wrongs that have been happening. Maybe God's speaking to your heart today. He's saying, hey, I want you to quit being held hostage by these folks. And I want you to give forgiveness. So last week I gave you a prayer challenge, and this week I want to give you a prayer challenge that every day for the next 7 days, I want you to pray this prayer with us. Before you get on your phone, news, kids, work, emails, tech, whatever it is, I want to challenge you over the next 7 days to pray this, what we're calling the prayer of release, every day this week. We'll keep it up there so you can see it. Obviously, we'll post it online this week. The prayer is this: Father, help me forgive the way you have forgiven me. Free my heart from bitterness. Give me grace for myself and for the people who have hurt me. The way that we see that Jesus was able to forgive was through his prayer time with the Father. How can I have the strength? How can I do that? That's so hard. It hurts so bad. Prayer softens our heart towards the people who hurt us. But it also reminds us of the one who purchased that forgiveness. So let me ask you just to bow your heads and close your eyes. I've read this story that we talked about today dozens and dozens of times, and it never ceases to amaze me. Forgive. They didn't ask. They didn't deserve that. They're literally beating you and crucifying you, and you say, forgive them. Man, that's hard. It's hard for me to comprehend. But that's who he is. That's how he loves. So church, today, if you've never accepted that love, if you've never accepted that forgiveness, and you've felt the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart today, would you take that step? It's a step of salvation. It's a step of surrender. It's a step of saying, all right, Jesus, I've been Lord of my life long enough, and today I'm going to receive your forgiveness, and I'm going to begin to live my life for you. If you're ready to take that step today, then take it. We're here. If you're here this morning and you're carrying hurt, you're carrying names, you're carrying baggage and wounds, it's time to release it. It's time to let go. Jesus purchased that blood. By his blood, he purchased that forgiveness. It today. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would go with us today. I pray that this message would not stop when we're done here in just a few moments. I pray that this message would stir in our hearts, would convict us. Lord, I pray for freedom for some folks in this room today. The bondage that they've been held in would be broken. Whether it be trying to earn your forgiveness and your worth and your love, or not being willing to give it away, God, would we find freedom in what you modeled and what you bought. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your example. Convict us as we go our separate ways. Convict us as you continue to speak to our hearts. Maybe there's somebody in here today that they need to go ask for forgiveness. They're the ones that have been doing the hurting and the struggle, you're speaking to them today, God. They need to be the one to say, you know what? I gotta stop. Convict us today, God. Make it so real to each and every one of our lives, not just another sermon, not just another Sunday. Make it so real to each and every one of us. Maybe we have a a friend we need to reach out to, a former friend. Maybe we have a parent that we need to forgive. Maybe we have an ex. God, help us to follow your example. Thank you for loving us and caring enough for us that you don't want us to carry this baggage any longer. You don't want us to be held slave to this any longer. Lord, I pray that we would be bold and courageous to take the steps that you've called us to take. And Lord, may we find freedom in the shadows of our lives, just like Jesus did. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thanks again for tuning in with us today. We would love to connect with you, and the best way to do that is through social media or go straight to our website. God bless you and have a wonderful day.